too often we miss something that is right in front of our faces. On a normal day in Washington, D.C., a man in blue jeans, a long-sleeved black shirt, and a black baseball cap takes a violin out of its case and begins to tune it. Commuters walk past at the metro station during the rush hour at the end of a workday. He begins to play some pieces by Bach. Over the course of 45 minutes, he plays some of the most difficult unaccompanied pieces written for the violin, and he plays them flawlessly for 45 minutes. During that time, 1,097 people passed by the violinist at the station. Some slowed their pace but didn't stop to enjoy the music. Over the course of the 45 minutes, only 7 people actually stopped and listened for any length of time. Only 27 gave money. The grand total of the tips that he made during that time, $32.17. You see, the violinist in the baseball cap was none other than Joshua Bell, an acclaimed violinist. A few days prior to this event, he had played a sold-out crowd in Boston, where some tickets cost over $100. The cheapest tickets in the room cost more than his earnings in the 45 minutes of busking. And the violin that he was playing, it was a Strad, worth $3.5 million. Today's narrative appears in each of the 4 Gospels. Rather than occurring after his triumphant entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, as it does in Matthew, Mark, and John, and Luke, this narrative happens at the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry in John. There's only one other public thing that Jesus does prior to this taking place, and that is changing the water into wine at the wedding of Cana. Our narrative includes Jesus creating a whip and the sheep and the cattle being driven from the temple, which is missing from the synoptic gospels telling of this story. Just imagine how much more chaotic this scene could be. Sheep and cattle running everywhere, Jesus pouring out all of the coins from the money changers, tables being flipped over, and vendors being yelled at. There's not a refrain of the temple being made into a den of robbers. Rather, there's a call to stop making my Father's place a marketplace. But the temple would have been a marketplace. You see, in order to take part of their religious obligations, Jewish people living under Roman law in Jerusalem would have needed to change their Roman coins into denarii. They would then take those denarii and purchase animals, which would be presented to the priests at the temple for sacrifice. While we don't hear the outcry of the temple becoming a den of robbers in today's text, we can still sense Jesus' frustration with the focus on the monetary aspect of the temple. Money, rather than worship, became the focus. When money becomes a condition for access to anything, including worship, the poor and the marginalized are inevitably excluded, and economic hierarchies are formed. Commodifying ritual participation in religious spaces, like the vendors at the temples were doing, creates exclusions. The market, rather than the God of the oppressed, is being honored and served. Through the driving out of the animals and the overturning of the money changer tables, Jesus is not so subtly announcing an end to this way of relating to God. I wonder what systems are in place today that exclude individuals from participating fully. I wonder what roadblocks have been placed unintentionally that restricts access. Only in John do we hear of Jesus talking of raising the temple after 3 days, and hear a mention of Jesus' body during this narrative. Perhaps it's because the Gospel of John was the last of the 4 Gospels to be written, and it was written after the second temple, the temple where today's story takes place, was destroyed by the Romans as a retaliation against Jewish revolts in 70 CE. By including this part of the story, The author of John was attempting to reassure his community that they would find God's mercy not in the physical temple, but in Christ. Remembering this statement also helped solidify Jesus' disciples' faith. It was meant to be a word of hope and grace for those who were living in dangerous times for Christians. In fact, the Gospel of John mentions Jesus' body very little. The entirety of Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of John is bracketed by the talk of God in flesh in Jesus. After today's text, there's no further talk of Jesus' body in the Gospel of John until we hear of his arrest, torture, crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. Some scholars state that by driving out the money changers and the animals at the temple, Jesus is also stating there will be no further need for sacrifice. The Word made flesh in Jesus is God in our midst, and Jesus' embodied grace will be enough for all of us. Another important message from today's text is that we encounter and experience God in places other than our church building. For most of us, we don't need to hear this message after the last year that we have lived through. The message that the church is more than a building has been heard loud and clear throughout this pandemic. But allow me to offer another way of thinking about it. David Loos describes an activity that is often done by David Miller, a professor at Princeton, when he meets with rostered leaders of churches. He begins by asking who recognizes Sunday school teachers or people that work with children and youth at the beginning of the new year within worship. Perhaps they're installed or prayed for. All of the hands in the room go up. Next, he asks how many install, recognize, or pray for newly elected council members during worship after the annual meeting. Again, most of the hands in the room go up. Then he asks how many recognize and pray for the youth group and its adult chaperones before they depart for a mission trip. Still, most of the hands in the room go up. And then he ends with one final question. How many of you, come late March or early April, invite all of your members who are certified public accountants to stand and then pray for them, knowing that for the next several weeks they will work 70 hours or more and that their labor keeps our tax system and our government functioning? Almost no hands are raised. David Loos raised this example because all too often we emphasize the roles that we play at church. By emphasizing our roles within the church, we unintentionally undervalue all of the other roles that we play in our lives. We can then unintentionally lift up the church as the one place where we meet God and live our religious lives, undermining John's insight and confession that God is out in the world waiting for us to partner with God. Too often, we miss something right in front of our face. I wonder if there was a time that you experienced God's presence in your life. I wonder if there was a time when you missed God's presence because you were too busy focusing on something else. I wonder if you've seen God at work in the world around us. I wonder how you've partnered with God for the wider community. And I wonder how you will partner with God in new ways. May we seek and find God's presence among us and work to share God's presence with those in our midst. Amen.